Okay, so last week we, two weeks ago, last week here in the Old City. So 2 weeks ago we began discussing the purpose of tefillah. But we said for the most part this year we are going to focus on tefillah itself, starting with that which Chazal referred to as tefillah, which is the Amidah. Let's be careful. Right? Let's be very careful, right? Tefillah can be days other than when we have 18/19 brachot. But yes, the Amidah, Shmoneh Esrei, colloquially speaking. So before we can actually get into the words of Shmoneh Esrei, we need to talk about what is this thing called the Amidah, Shmoneh Esrei, Chasrei, whatever. And when was it created? So this is very unclear. The Gemara in number one tells you that v'chem e'achar demeh v'esrim zkenim u'mehem kama neviim tiknu tvila ala seder Shimon apikuli mai his dear so shechachum v'chazar v'sidrum. The Gemara had said that Shimon apikuli was responsible for setting up tvila. And then the Gemara says, how could that be? Tvila, as we know it, was established by the Anshei Knesset Agdola, which consisted of 120 members. So the Gemara said, you're right, it was somewhat forgotten, and then Shimon HaPeguli came back and reestablished it. Okay? If you read this Gemara and I asked you, okay, when was Shmoneh Esrei, the Amidah, created? So what would you say? What does it hang on? What would you say, David? Down the middle. When was it created?
Earlier than Shimon HaPeguli.
Okay, in the time of what? Right, the Anshei Knesset Agdola. The problem, the question that it of exactly when this happens hangs on the word tiknu. What does tiknu mean? How are you reading it?
Established.
Established, meaning before that,
there was nothing.
What's the other way of reading tiknu?
They wasn't a second.
Correct. Right? It existed in some form. Some version of it existed. And tiknu. They formalized it. Right? They fixed it. They established that we say it on a regular basis. Right? They took different variants and made a somewhat set text. This question is like the central question that academics go back and forth on is, when did this happen? Did this happen? Anshei Knesset Agdola, Yavne, Shimon HaPeguli, right? Like, right? The early sort of Tannaitic period, right? Or was it a process, right? There were things that were starting to be built. There were versions of it, right? People started talking about central ideas in a particular order. And then eventually, right, it became formalized, just like here you see with Shimon HaPeguli, right? It was established, it was forgotten, it was established again, and there was this process. And if you go through some of the sources, right, you can see how it could go either way, right? If you look at the Sifrei, for example, Vav Shmonasre Shetiknu Achachamim Rishonim Shehu Yisrael Mitpalalim Lo Patchu B'Tzarcham Shal Yisrael Tchila Ad Shepatchu B'Shivcho Shal Makom. Right, the Shmoneh Esrei, which, and this is where, again, that the Chachamim Arishonim, the early sages, instituted that the Jews should pray with. And again, you could read that in either way. Right? Is it that they instituted the tefillah ex nihilo, right, from nothing? Or that tefillah, which was formalized in its final form by the early sages, ... has the order of Shevach, right, starting with praise, and then the needs of the Jews, and then it goes on from there. If you want to look for just for a moment, I gave you a summary from one of the academic positions in number 5. Again, if you read any sort of the academic books on tefillah, the older ones by Yosef Heinemann, which is a classic. If you read sort of newer literature, people who are still writing, Ruth Langer at Brandeis, one of the Boston schools. They will go back and forth on this, but I gave you one summary here. There's an excellent website. You can find a lot of this material, beure@tefillah.com. But he writes, this is from Ezra Fleischer, both positions agree that it was the sages of Yavne who promulgated the requirement that all Jews pray 3 times a day, either privately or communally, and that they recite on this occasion a prayer of 18 blessings. I assume that's Amidah, and it just got messed up when I copied it. Yet standard scholarship assumes that they did not fix the text of this compulsory prayer, considering, as Dr. Langer puts it, that the people had already developed linguistic registers for appropriate prayer to God and were capable of composing and expected to compose their own prayer in it. Implied in this argument is the assumption that long before the Yavnian period, before Yavne, necessarily during the period of the Second Temple, people were already accustomed to reciting prayers that resembled in character the Amidah. Again, I'm assuming that's Amidah. If not, that's what it should be. That the Yavne sages sought to institutionalize. Right, there is one view. Right here he names Ruth Langer as one of the proponents of this view. Again, Yosef Heinemann is one of those. Who believe that there were versions of Shemoneh Esrei in existence for many generations, and slowly but surely it became formalized. And what was the chiddush of the Chachamim in Yavne was that they formalized it and they institutionalized three times a day. But the notion that there was a Shemoneh Esrei, there was a formalized tefillah that looked something like this, was actually, right, pre-existed the period of Yavne. Fleischer argues, and he says, I've demonstrated in my published articles that this assumption is mistaken. Examination of the large corpus of literary and other evidence that reflects the realities of life in Eretz Israel at the end of the Second Temple period, the Apocrypha, Pseudepigrapha, Josephus, Philo, the New Testament, and more, proves there existed this time no sort of verbal worship that resembled the liturgy that was established at Yavne. To be sure, Eretz Israel was filled with synagogues during the Second Temple period. However, these were not houses of prayer, but rather places where people gathered to hear the Torah read and expounded, never to pray. Jews in those times would pray individually, each in his own way and language, and at times or places they desired. Prayer was considered neither an obligatory nor a communal endeavor. As with prayer from time immemorial, Jewish and non-Jewish alike, it was man's intimate and personal communication with God. Close inspection of the characteristic structures and themes of the... Something, Shemoneh Esrei, I don't know, as tested by all available sources from the earliest layers of the Tanaic corpus to the canonical form familiar to us today, demonstrates that the Amidah was not meant to be a prayer of a common meaning of the term, but rather a ritual of collective worship, a divine service in the strictly formal sense. And he goes on. Now, what hangs on this question? Why does it even matter whether what the period of Yavne did was create Shemoneh Esrei from nothing, or if they took a pre-existing Shemoneh Esrei or some version of it and formalized it? What really hangs on that question? Why do I care? Right? I mean, it's an interesting academic question, but why do I care?
It just means the purpose of the tefillah. Like, whether there was something that was created in Yavne as reacting to the Second Temple, or was it there something deeper?
Me'achus. Right. I think what hangs on this question is tefillah as we know it merely a reaction to the Churban Habayit, or not? Right? If you think it was created in Yavne, Yavne is
post-Korban.
It's not just post-Korban, right? It is the post-Korban Sanhedrin, or whatever, collection of Chachamim, which was explicitly in place of the Korban, where their primary function was imagining post-Temple Judaism. Right? Hence, Tainli, Yavne v'Chachameha. Right? That in a failed attempt to save the Beit HaMikdash, or anticipating a failed attempt to save the Beit HaMikdash, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai says, if the Beit HaMikdash is going to be destroyed, at least we can create, right, a new Judaism, right, or maintain a reactionary form of Judaism in Yavne after the Korban. So at least Tainli Yavne v'chachameha. If, however, now this is a one-way nafkamina, right? There's a one-way nafkamina. If Shemoneh Esrei in some version existed before Churban HaBayit, it's clear that that's not the case. Right? If it existed afterwards, you could still say that, sure, the reaction was formalized prayer, but the institution of prayer was meaningful, right, pre-Churban. Right? It's not exact. Right? What really hangs on this is this question of, right, I care less about when exactly did the text come into existence. I care more about the question of, is tefillah as we conceptualize it, as the Amidah, is that a reaction to the Churban? Right? Or is the notion of formalized tefillah something that was meaningful, even in a world where there were korbanot? Now, where does this machloket seem to superficially start? Right? Who seems to argue this in a very famous place, but maybe you never thought about it this way?
I guess more between whether
Thank you. Right, the Gemara in Brachot, Daf Chaf Vav, has an argument. Who instituted our Shmoneh Esrei? What is it instituted parallel to? And the Gemara offers two possibilities, which are the patriarchs, the Avot, or... Right? Or, right, essentially, right? Or it's Keneged Karbanot. But think about what they're really asking, right? If you say that Shmoneh Esrei is Keneged Karbanot, what you're saying is, right, potentially, this is just a replacement, but in an ideal world, you don't need it. If you say Avot Tiknu, meaning they actually instituted Shacharis, Mincha, and Mariv, right, even if Shmoneh Esrei took different forms at different times, and even if Tefillah took different forms at different times, what the Gemara is saying in a very forceful way is that Tefillah is not a reaction, it's not a replacement of Karbanot, meaning it may also be a replacement of Karbanot, right? But it's not merely a replacement of Karbanot, it's an institution that is meaningful and fundamental whether or not a Churban has occurred. Right, so if you look at the Gemara, number 3, Idmar Rabbi Yosef Rechanina Amar Tefillot Avot Tiknum, Shuvan Levi Amar Tefillot Keneged Tmidim Tiknum. Note that this goes back to the Braisa, Tanya Gavazi Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina, V'Tanya Gavazi Rabbi Shua Ben Levi. There are brighter in both directions. Tanya Gavazi Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina, Avram Tiken Tfilah Shachret, Shnemar Vayashkem Avram Baboker, Elma Koma Sharam Matsham, Vein Amida Ela Tfilah, Shnemar Vayamot Pinchas Vayipalel. Avram instituted Shachris based on the Amida, right? The word, Amad, which has a connotation of Tfilah. Yitzchak Tiken Tfilat Minchas Shnemar Veitzei Yitzchak Lasuch Basadif Lon Erev Vein Sichal Tfilah Shnemar Tfilah Ani Ki Atof Levnei Hashem Yishpoch Sicho. Yitzchak instituted Mincha because he was involved in Siach, which is also considered to be Tfilah based on the pasuk of Tfilah Leani Ki Atof. And Yaakov Tiken Tfilat Arvit Shnemar Veivka B'makom Veilan Sham Vein Pigia El Tfilah Shnemar Vata. Al titpalel ba'adam hazev, al tisa ba'adam rinau tefillah, v'al tifka bi. V'tani kavatid Rishu ben Levi, v'bnei ma amru tefillah shachar chatzot. Rishu ben Levi says, shachar is only until midday, sharei tamid shachar kari v'holechad chatzot, v'hudo ma'ar ba'ashot, sharei tamid shachar kari v'holechad ar ba'ashot. Rabbi Yehuda argues both in terms of the karban and in terms of the of tefillah shacharit, etc. Right, but the simplest understanding of this machlokes is this question. Right, is tefillah as we know it merely a reaction, right, a replacement of the karbanot, but in an ideal world, maybe it doesn't need to be that way? Or is it essentially just the codification of that which has existed time immemorial, since the time of the Avot? In which case, it is not in any sense a reaction to the lack of karbanot. Okay. Like I said, this is sort of a one-way nafkamina, because you could say, right, you could say that even if you think that Shmoneh Esrei was created from nothing as a reaction to the Churban, that doesn't mean that tefillah, even maybe institutionalized tefillah, somewhat formal tefillah, communal prayer, all those things might still have value, right, might have had value in the time of the Beit HaMikdash, even if you think Shmoneh Esrei per se, in its form, with all its details, and all the brachot, and all all the restrictions in terms of time are only post Mikdash. Now, I think that you can see both strains running through the Rishonim, right, in a clear way. I'm going to argue for one of those sides, right? I will develop both sides, but I want to argue for one of those sides, particularly the one that, not surprisingly, that Tefillah is fundamental rather than merely a reaction to the Churban. So if you look at number 6, the Gemara already tells you, Minolan de betfilah, de tanya la'avad Hashem elokechem lo'avdo b'chol levavchem, eizohi avodashi balev, heve omer zo tfilah uktiv batre v'natati metarzachem b'ito yore umalkosh. The Gemara in Tanit says that tfilah is the meaning of the word lo'avdo b'chol levavchem. Right? To worship God, avodashi balev is tfilah. Now, it is the easiest way of reading that is that avodah, right? The simplest way of reading the Gemara is that, right? Normally we think of avodah as what? Karbanot. But this midrash, which appears in Sifrei as well, right, appears in many places called Chazal Tanaitic and Amoraic literature, The Gemara here, by virtue of the fact that it is providing an interpretation of the word Avodah in Chumash, seems to be saying what, Zev? Right, that Avodah fundamentally meant Tefillah. Right, this is not that it's a secondary replacement of Karbanot. It means that at a fundamental level, Avodah never meant exclusively Karbanot. It always meant Tefillah. Tefillah is essential. Now, you see that whether what I just said is true seems to be machlok rishonim and how you understand the Mishnah in 7. Right, the Mishnah in the beginning of Avot says, Shimon HaTzadik haya mishiyarei cheneset agdola. Right, Shimon HaTzadik was of the final members, the remnant of the Anshei Knesset Gedola, who haya omer shlosha dvarim ha'olam omed al ha'Torah v'al avodah v'al gemilut chasadin. The world stands on three things. Torah, number one. Kindness, number three. Avodah, number two. What does Avodah mean? Give me three possibilities.
Karbanos,
Tefillah, or
like labor, like work,
Well, that's theoretically, but unlikely, right? So, Karbanot, Tefillah, or
not labor.
It meant Karbanot, and secondarily it means Tefillah, right? Meaning, right? Those are right.
It does not mean the political party.
No, it does not mean that. That is definitely not one of the things the world stands on. Right. I do not want the world to, you know, cease to exist if they don't get into the Knesset on Tuesday, right? That would be very, very odd. The world may come to an end on Tuesday, you know, period. It has nothing to do with who get, like, you know. Chaos in this country, as you know from Matt, you know, is well established. Yes. I really don't want to think about it too much.
Is the chaos established from that avodah from the korbanot?
It's before that. Va'aretz haita tov v'vohu v'choshech apnei tahom. Yeah. Anyways. Anyways. So, which shita do you want first? Right. The position that this that this means korbanot and only korbanot. Okay. Let's try that. Right? Three possibilities. It means Karbanot, only Karbanot, which means at this point the world is basically doomed, right, essentially, or has to rely on Torah and Gemilut Chasadim. Or it always meant Karbanot and Tefillah equally. Like, they were always co-equals and they were okay. Sometimes you have one, sometimes you have the other, but they're always equal, essentially. Right? Meaning, it obviously also means Karbanot. But the question of, like, at a fundamental level. The third possibility is, like, ideally it means Avodah, but Tefillah is a replacement. Not a great replacement, but we'll take what we can get. So if you look at Avot Rabbi Natan, so this is already a very early source, number 9, takes the cynical view. Yeah, Avodah seems to mean Avodah, like, you know, in the Beit HaMikdash. Al Avodah, Ketzad, Kozman Shavodah Beit HaMikdash, Kayemet HaOlam Mitbarech Al Yoshvav Ugishamin Yordin. Right, as long as there is the Beit HaMikdash, rain will come. Bismanan, at the right time, Shneamar, Lavadashem, Gehem, Lavdobachal, Hemchem, and Atadim, and Tarzachem, Beito, Yerem, Akosh, Venatati, Esev, Visadchal, Femdecha, Bisman, Shein, Avodat, Beit HaMikdash, Kayemet, Ein, Ha'olam, Mitbarech, Ayoshav, Ein, Akshem, Yerdim, Bismanan. When there is no Avodat, rain will not come at the right time, and the world will not survive properly. Nikuda, Sof, Sipor. Halamata, Shein, Avodat, From here you see there is no worship that is worthwhile to God more than worship in the temple. Now, this view of Avot Rabbi Natan takes the view. What is Avodah? No, not even. He doesn't bring it up. It's carbon only. Think about how crazy that is. Right? Meaning, if you read this Avot Rabbi Natan by itself, he would say, look, the world's fundamentally supposed to function on carbonate. You don't have carbonate, the best you have is a pale reflection of it, but that won't get you to anywhere near where you need to be. The world just won't survive properly. That's it. Right? It's over. Right? Like, you are missing one of the three prongs that keeps the world up. Whatever you do afterwards, tefillah is like, right, b'di'evit shebi'di'evit. It's not like u'neshama parim sfateinu. Right? This view, right, if you read it literally, right, is not, oh yeah, now we have tefillah, which is somewhat good. It's just like, it just ends. There was once Avodah, the world survived on Avodah, and now it just doesn't survive properly. Rain is chaotic, right? There is no, right, just not predictable. The world is crazy, right? You'll get 5 years of drought followed by 1 year of, like, torrential downpours, right? That's what happened in Israel the last few years, if you're following, right? There is just not any, there's no predictability to this, just get over it.
So are we in the middle of the drought or the...
No, we're in the surplus.
Ooh,
right? We managed to go, at the beginning of last year, we were, I think it was 18 centimeters from the black line, right? The Kinneret has three lines. The upper red line, which is overflow at which they open the dam so that it doesn't flood Tveria, right? That's at 208.8, I think, meters below sea level, right? Then there's the lower red line, which is below which we're in trouble, and then the black line, which if we go beneath the black line, there is irreparable ecological damage to the right? So we were within 18 centimeters or something like that, or 12 centimeters of the black line. Okay? Then, what?
Above.
We were like here, right? And then last winter we had like 4.5 meters of rain, and it was crazy. You remember this, Zev? It was insane. We had rain all the time. It was. People flood. It was crazy. And then we had in the spring already in April, right? We had what? 10 centimeters a day. A day. It was insane for like. It's a lot of rain. We had like 3 days in a row. It was 10 centimeters, 11 centimeters. It just like...
Did they open the dam?
No, we didn't get that high. We had a lot of work to go. No, we got to like 1.6 meters maybe above the lower red line. So we had a lot of rain. That's the point, right? But it was crazy. Like we had 5 years of nothing and everyone was like, and then just insane amount of rain. That's one version. Okay? Version 2 is... it means Avoda primarily means Beit HaMikdash, but like, okay, Tefillah's like in the ballpark, right? It's an okay replacement. And you would read the Neshama Parim Shvatenu as like, it's not really Parim, right? Right? Neshama Parim Shvatenu is Chazal's language they like invoking for, right? Right? That our lips shall replace the cows, right? But it's not like a full replacement. This is Rabbeinu Yonah. Number 8. Al avoda, ki kadosh baruch hu bachar Yisrael mikol ha'amot, ve'er Yisrael mikol ha'aratzot, u'vachar Yerushalayim mikol Eretz Yisrael, u'vachar Yerushalayim Tzion. K'mo she'nemar ki vachar Hashem b'tzion yivel ha'moshav lo. Right? God chose the Jews of all nations, and Israel of all countries, and Yerushalayim of all cities, etc. U'vachar mikol beit ha'bechira b'shvil ha'avoda she'katuv ba'ratzon. And of all those, God's, the thing he loves the most is the worship in the Beit HaMikdash, which is Ratzon, it is God's will. Shneamar l'Ratzon olifnei Hashem. Hinei lecha ki mipnei avoda nivra kol ha'olam kulo. The world was created for Karbanot. Az b'chata'enu charav mikdash uvatla avoda. But in our sin, because of our sins, the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed. Va'tila eleinu achshav bimkoma kimosh amur chazol avdo b'chol avavchem. Ezu hi avoda shvalev em omer zo tfila. Right? And he says, but nowadays we have Avodas Tefillah, it's a replacement. Now, right, what does it sound like in Rabbeinu Yonah? Right? And this is a hard read of the Sefrei, right, which according to Gemara, which is that Lavdo didn't originally mean Tefillah. Right? Like, it can mean Tefillah if necessary. Right? Like, this is a post destruction statement. But it didn't really mean that. V'zeu shamar, shem tzvatai tiftach, shedavin melech amr levot zegzel, chatat bat sheva, shem v'mezim, v'mezim, v'mekor banal zedonot, v'al zeh amar ki lo tachbot zevach, v'etna olah, lo tzirtzit shani, etc. So, and he says, David HaMelech had to ask that his tefillah be accepted because he had sinned on purpose, and karbanot don't help you. She says, that's what he requested, and he said, Hashem tzvatai tiftach, and that's what we started davening with it, because gam anachnu, she'en lanu karban, she'chaper lo al zedonot, v'losh kagot, Hashem tzvatai tiftach, v'tkabel tefillatinu b'mkom ha'karbanot. So we beg God, like, look, we don't have karbanot, what do you want from us? Please let it be that our tefillot are enough. Right, so Rabbeinu Yonah is model 2. Right, not avodah, ideal, it's karbanot, and then tefillah, like, it doesn't really register, but like, we do what we can. Right, possibility two is like, tefillah is important, it's a replacement, but like, it's a replacement. Right, it's not something that existed as a fundamental category, definitely not. No, we have it in the time of the Beit HaMikdash. Possibility three, the Gra very succinctly summarizes for you, which is, Hal al ha'avodah, b'sof migilah minan imili, Omar of Ami Omolim Ambadot Lonit Kaimu Shamaim Varish and Amar Imlo Briti Vigomer. Right? The Gra says something cryptic. And what does he say? Right? He says that what does Avodah mean? It means something from the end of Megillah. right? But what does he reference? The Ma'amadot. What are the Ma'amadot?
The
so Mishnah 11. Eilohein Ma'amadot lefishnei amar. Tzavin es rabbar talim and karbini lachmi. V'chiyeh karbanot shel adam korei v'hu eino omed al gabav. Hitkinu nevi'im arishonim esrim v'arba mishmarot. Kol mishmar v'mishmar haya ma'amad b'yushalayim shel kohanim shel levi'im v'shel yisraelim. Higi ezman ha'mishmar la'alot kohanim levi'im olim l'yushalayim v'yisrael shebotom mishmar mitkantzin l'arehen v'karim b'maseh breshit. The Mishnah tells us that in the time of the Beit HaMikdash, while the Kohanim were bringing the Karbanot, there were groups of Jews who were divided into 24 groups, and what would they do? They would say Psukim, they would daven, read from the Torah. Why? Because, what does the Mishnah say? A Karban of a person can't be brought without him being involved, without him Omed Al Gabav. So what does the Gra think the word Avodah means? Fundamentally, Tefillah. It's the Ma'amadot. Right, it's not the Kohanim, it's the Ma'amadot. Right? It's the Jews who were praying at the time, meaning that yes, the Karbanot are obviously important, and that's part of Avodah. Right? The original Ma'amadot were people praying so that the Karbanot would be accepted. But what is the Gra telling you? What does he think the word Avodah means? Equally, at least, equally Tefillah as Karbanot, meaning Tefillah was a meaningful category even in the time of the Beit HaMikdash, such that the Karbanot weren't accepted without the Jews davening alongside the Karbanot, meaning Tefillah is a category that didn't increase in importance post-Beit HaMikdash. It was important at the time of the Beit HaMikdash, it's just, it happens to be that now it has a double function. But Tefillah is a fundamental category. Now, there is support for this. If you want to look historically, you want to know which one is more likely historically, right? Not just from Chazal, but from basically everything we know about the time. This is the stronger position. Because I gave you now for my Kfira, right? I gave you Judith and Luke and against Appian. Okay? I gave you things from the Apocrypha, from the Christian canon, right? And from Josephus. Okay?
What is
Judith? Judith is a book of the Apocrypha. We can talk about it a different time. But these are all books that are writing contemporaneously around this period. And this is what they write. Okay? This is from Judith. Then Judith fell upon her face, put ashes on her head, uncovered the sackcloth she was wearing, and at the very time when that evening's incense was being offered in the house of God in Jerusalem, Judith cried out to the Lord with a loud voice and said, ... Right? What are people talking about at that time? They would try... What did they do already in the time of the Beit HaMikdash? Now, and this will give you a new spin on the Gemara in Brachot. Right? Remember, we said that maybe the machloket in Brachot about whether Shmona Esrei is keneged avot or keneged karbanot is karbanot merely a replacement for karbanot or a fundamental category. But if you look historically, what was happening in the time of the Beit HaMikdash? Prayer when?
During the...
At the Zman, right? Well, we paskin, right? The Zman of Tefillah was the Zman of karbanot despite the fact that Karbanot existed, right? Meaning this wasn't a replacement. There was a recognition, right? Apparently, that there was a value to attaching Tefillah to the Karbanot, but Tefillah, right? Even if it was connected to Karbanot, not because it was a replacement, right? It was valuable in the time of the Beit HaMikdash because it was part of that general system, and it maintained that importance afterwards. And therefore, you look back at the Gemara in Brachot and you realize this doesn't have to be a machloket. Is Tefillot merely a replacement or a Tefillot pre-existing? Because based on the history of what we know at the time, the notion that Tefillah was supposed to be keneged karbanot, right? Keneged, how do you read the word keneged? Right? I think most of us read it keneged as?
Instead.
Like instead of. But what does keneged literally mean?
Yes.
Parallel to. And when you look at the history, it turns out that it was parallel. And again, I can prove this to you from traditional sources or non-traditional sources. Prove it to me from traditional sources. I just gave it to you, by the way. The Ma'amadot. Right? Meaning, now look back at the Ma'amadot and ask me what the Ma'amadot mean. The Ma'amadot mean that there was Tefillah, Keneged, Karbanot, when the Karbanot existed. Right? That's what that means. Right? That's what the Gra thinks it means. Right? That Avodah always meant the Tefillah, which was keneged karbanot. Meaning Tefillah is a fundamental category, yes, related to karbanot. Yes, karbanot are important. Yes, if we can tie our Tefillah to karbanot, that adds to them, obviously. But the notion that tefillot are important is true, even if you think they're keneged karbanot, meaning this is not a replacement of, it is parallel to, even when they exist. Now, this you find this in Luke as well, right? When the time for the burning of incense came, all the assembled worshippers were praying outside. Now, tell me, what did... I hate doing this. Zev, because you're Shana Bet, you won't feel bad that I'm doing this to you, right?
Yes.
What is the nafka mean? What did I learn from Luke that I didn't learn from Judith? Can't believe I'm saying this. What? Yes! Right? Is that, if I said Judith, you'd say, okay, but communal prayer connected to Karbanot, that didn't exist in the time of the Beit HaMikdash, and it turns out, that's not true either! Right? What Fleischer says, right, which is, oh yeah, the Bate Knesio that we have from Bayacheni. Now, if we want to go to archaeology, we have Bate Knesset from the time of Beit HaMikdash. And what do people who want to say that Karbanot or that Tfilot are merely a replacement for Karbanot have to say? What does Fleischer say? Knesset means together, not to, right? It's not a shul. It's the matnas, right? They went there for lectures and for ping pong and for swimming and whatever, right? They didn't go there. They went there for meetings, right? No, but there was no communal prayer. Forget prayer. There was not communal prayer in the time of the Beit HaMikdash. And it turns out that there's a very plausible way of reading Chazal that that's not true, right? The Ma'amadot. And then you look at some of the history, you look at some of the texts that are from that period, and you find out that that's what they're writing. If you look at Josephus in number 14 and against Apion, he writes, "There ought to be but one temple for God, for one God, for likeness is the constant foundation of agreement. This temple ought to be common to all men, because he is common God of all men. High priests are to be continually about his worship, over whom he that is the first by his birth is to be the ruler perpetually. His business must be to offer sacrifices to God together with those priests that are joined with him, and to see the laws be observed, and determine controversies, and punish those that are convicted of injustice. While he that does not submit to him shall be subject to the same punishment as if he had been guilty of impiety towards God himself. When we offer sacrifices to him, we do it not in order to surfeit ourselves or to be drunken, for such excesses are against the will of God, and would be an occasion of injuries and of luxury, but by keeping ourselves sober, orderly, and ready for other occupations, and being more temperate than others." Right, so here he tells you what? That what's very important? Beit HaMikdash, Kohen Gadol, etc. And for our duty are the sacrifices. And then he says, right now, again, he's writing Churban, period. Right? Remember, he's the historian of the Churban. So he writes, "We may here observe how known a thing it was amongst the Jews and heathens, in this and many other instances, that sacrifices were still accompanied with prayers, whence most probably came those phrase of the sacrifice of prayer, the sacrifice of praise, the sacrifice of thanksgiving. However, those ancient forms used as sacrifices are now generally lost, to the no small damage of Jewish religion. It is also here exceedingly remarkable that although the Temple of Jerusalem was built as the only place where the whole nation of the Jews were to offer their sacrifices, yet there is no mention of the sacrifices themselves, but of prayers only in Solomon's long and famous form of devotion at its dedication." Right? So Josephus says, yes, Karbanot are important, but it is well known, everybody knew, that people davened when they brought Karbanot, so much so that when Shlomo HaMelech built his Beit HaMikdash, where there were many, many Karbanot, in his opening tefillah, he talks about it as the place where tefillah will be accepted. Now, I will not read everything in 15, but now tell me, and I mentioned this last week, who has to believe what I just said?
The Rambam.
Why does the Rambam have to believe? And this is like a nice shiluv of a little bit of academia, a little bit of lamdus, a little bit of defense of the Rambam. But why does the Rambam have to say what I just said? It's not just because it's a chiv deraisa. What is the Rambam, right? Even more so.
Well, he argues that the korbanot are...
Thank you, because the Rambam thinks korbanot are b'dieved. Right? The Rambam thinks that korbanot, right? This is the Mor Nebuchim, right? The Rambam tells you that korbanot are... because
they're like almost irreplaceable.
Correct, right? They were just God was giving in to the people, because sacrifices, according to the Rambam, are fundamentally idolatrous. But because the people were idolatrous, they had to wean them off idolatry. The way to wean them off idolatry was to let them bring sacrifices to God. But fundamentally, the notion of bringing a korban for the Rambam is either true idolatry or idolatrous enough that it will help you. It's like a nicotine patch, right? Like, it's not ideal. What?
Didn't he tell them to sacrifice a lamb?
Yes, and he says that this is God bidyeved, weaning us off of sacrifice, right? It's we're addicted to tobacco, right? So you give a nicotine patch, right? That right? I understand. This is bothersome. I get it, right? You know who knew this was bothersome?
The Rambam.
The Ramban knew it was bothersome and hated it. The Rambam also, okay, let's look at it a little bit. He says, many precepts in our law are the result of a similar course adopted by the same supreme being. It is namely impossible to go suddenly from one extreme to the other. It is therefore, according to the nature of man, impossible for him suddenly to discontinue everything to which he's been accustomed. Now, God sent Moses to make the Israelites a kingdom of priests and a holy nation by means of the knowledge of God. Etc. Unto thee, it was shown that the mightiest know, etc., etc. Let's skip down. Okay, skip down. He says, but the custom which was in those days in general among all men, and the general mode of worship which the Israelites were brought up, consists in sacrificing animals in those temples which contain certain images, to bow down to those images, to burn incense before them. Religious and ascetic persons were in those days the persons that were devoted to the service in the temple erected to the stars, has been explained by us. It was in accordance with the wisdom and plan of God, as displayed in the whole creation, that he did not command us to give up and discontinue all these manners of service, for to obey such a commandment would have been contrary to the nature of man, who generally cleaves to that which he is used to, I guess. It would in those days have made the same impression as a prophet, who would make it present if he called us to the service of God and told us in his name that we should not pray to him, not fast, etc. Right, the Rambam tells you in no uncertain terms, right, that people aren't used to giving things up quickly. Yes?
Well, he says the same thing about prayer also.
Well, that it depends how you read that line, right? Does he think we shouldn't have prayer? He's just saying it would be as foreign to us as someone who would say get rid of prayer, but we don't want to get rid of prayer. Right? That's not clear what he says in that line. And then if you look after the ellipsis, he says, I know that you will first reject this idea and find it strange. You will put the following question to me in your heart. How can we suppose the divine commandments, prohibitions, and important acts, which are fully explained for those certain seasons are fixed, should not have been commanded for their own sake, but only for the sake of some other thing, as if they were only the means which he employed for his primary object. What prevented him from making his primary object a direct commandment to us and give us the capacity of obeying it? Those precepts which, in your opinion, are only means and not the object within him and unnecessary. Hear my answer, which will cure your hearts of this disease and will show you the truth of that which I have pointed out to you. Right, and then he goes on, and his proof is that Hashem didn't lead the Jews derech eretz pelashtim ki karovu, because when the Jews were leaving Egypt, had they had war, they would have turned around. The pasuk says this explicitly. Right, God wanted to take them the shorter path. It would have been best to go the shorter path, but you can't, because that's through the derech eretz pelashtim, and the people would have turned around. Meaning, sometimes God does things because humans need it, not because it's a theoretical ideal. So for the Rambam, it's almost necessary to say this, right? And for that reason, right, I think, now, coming back to Zeb's point before, I think that's why the Rambam understands the Drash and the Sifrei, not the way the Avot Derabbi Natan does, which is, Avodah being Tfilah is a replacement. He says, number 16, Hu shet sivanu la'avdo, kfar nichval zet sivoy pamim, v'amro v'avatem et Hashem Elokeichem, v'amar oto tavodu, v'afal beshet sivoy hu gam kemet sivim ha'kolim, k'mo she'be'arne b'shoresh, dalet hine yesh bo yichud, echad shu tivoy l'tvila. Right? It's no mistake that the Rambam takes that pasuk of la'avdo and says its primary meaning is tvila. Right? Is prayer. And to be fair, he has good reason to believe this, right? And that the Avot Derabbi Natan is not the primary tradition in Chazal. Because if you look at the Sifrei, which this comes from, right? Not the truncated version we have in the Bavli. But the Sifrei, the original version, the Tanaitic version, look at it in 17. Le'avdo, Zeh Talmud, Omer Zeh Talmud, O'enu El Avod Mamash. First it says it is learning. Is it learning? Maybe it's Karbanot. Kishu Omer, Vaikach, Hashem L'Gan Adam, Ve'nechem Ba'ngen, Le'avdo, Le'shomra. Work. Then in the next line he says, right, it's very clear. It's not a replacement of Karbanot. It is what the word Avodah Shebalev means. And then he gives you historical proof. V'chein b'David omer tikon tfilati k'taret lefanecha masad kefim in chad arev v'omer v'daniel. Right? And then what does it do? Dot, dot, dot. What does it do? It quotes who? David, who is? Pre-Beit HaMikdash, and Daniel, who is? Post. The point is, this is a fundamental category, right? Time immemorial. Before there were Karbanot being practiced, right? Or before there was a Beit HaMikdash, there were Karbanot in the time of David, right? Afterwards, this is just a fundamental category. And therefore, coming back to the original point, right? What I think is important, right? Again, there's this academic machloket, right? Were Chazal merely formalizing some version of Shemot Esrei that existed or not? What seems to hang on that is the question of, is Tefillah merely a replacement of the Avodah, or at least Tefillah as we have it, merely a replacement of the Avodah, or is it fundamentally valuable? But, first of all, there's good evidence from the Sifrei, from the Rambam, that Tefillah, at least the category of Tefillah, is valuable even when there's Karbanot. But more than that, when you look at the historical background, from Judith, Luke, whatever, right, you realize that Keneged Karbanot Tiknum doesn't mean in replacement of, it means parallel to. And the way the Gra understands the word Avodah is the Mamadot, meaning Tefillah added something to Karbanot even when they existed. Suddenly becomes much more reasonable the possibility that versions of Shemoneh Esrei existed. And that Chazal, in the time of Yavneh, had to institute it formally, because yes, now there wasn't a Beit HaMikdash. Now you required more formalization. But it wasn't something that didn't exist at all. It's something that is, right, Tefillah, even the basics of our formalized Tefillah are valuable always. Right? That obviously, we didn't always have it the way we have it now, but it's not that it came from nothing as a paltry imitation of the Beit HaMikdash. It actually existed and has fundamental, essential value before that. Let's make a few more points here, right? Now you see this. You see certain things that will point in this direction, like in 19, the claim of the Gemara that Amen is more important than the Mevarech. Now maybe we'll get that later in the year. But what does that tell you, right? Let's just for a moment tell you what does that say? That communal prayer is fundamental, right? Not just, right, that communal prayer is fundamental, because if for Amen to be greater than Tefillah, that means that the notion that there might be one person leading others is actually essential. Right? If you thought that Tefillah existed as an individual thing and we only came to communal Tefillah post-Karban, saying that Amen is better than someone who actually davens doesn't make sense. But if you say that no, Amen in a certain sense is more powerful than Tefillah, what it's imagining is that there is a group of people responding, and that at some level is more powerful than individual tefillah, which means that the communal institution is actually fundamental.
But that was also instituted post...
Again, that's what it... Not fully post-Korban, right? It seems to have existed in some form.
But I thought we said before that...
No, I argued against that view. Right? Now, this will also put a spin on some of the other things. What is clear is that it was in flux for a while, right? Exactly how it was pronounced. So, some of the academics point out that, right, the original statement of Rabbi Elazar, who said "Kol Oso Tfilato Keva Ein Tfilato Dachanunim," right? That probably means that originally it was fluid, right? Right. The Gemara says that means if you make your tefillah keva, meaning you don't have new kavanot. But at some point that may have meant if you don't add to it, because until it was formalized, it was perfectly legitimate to play with it. Okay. I want to make just one last point from Heinem, and then we'll end. Several people said this when we had like our question-answer thing on tefillah, right? Which is, well, didn't we lose something with the formalizing of tefillah, right? Now, maybe we did. But Heinemann argues, and I think very compellingly, that it's true that sometimes you might lose kavana once you move to formalized tefillah in the way that we have it now, right? The real formalized. Not like it was formally formalized and people were doing something, but everyone tweaked it a little bit, where everyone understands. A basic structure with a little bit of tweaking, I get how that gives kavana. But how does a formal text add to kavana? Didn't we lose something by moving from whatever existed, right? From nothing to a formalized Shemoneh Esrei, or a more amorphous one to what we have? Didn't we lose something? The answer is somewhat yes, but he says, look, yes and no. Because tefillah, which is spontaneous, is a product of emotion. Tefillah, which is formalized, produces emotion because you have to say it even when you don't yet feel it. Right? So if you happen to be someone who's very, very spiritual, so maybe you lose something by formalizing tefillah. But for the most of us who only feel inspired to daven every so often, right? On balance, we're more likely to have kavana in tefillah if we have a formalized prayer that has the right word that will push us in the right direction. So to quickly read his quote, he writes, "V'adai haita lem liyotzei tefillah af matara chinuchit." Right, those who created the tefillah had an educational goal. Afal bi she'eini ba'al lidei bitum mefurash b'dei chachamim mishnah v'talmud. They don't state it explicitly. Im chayav kol adam leitpalel yom yom li'itim mezumanot b'tzura kvua. If you're obligated to daven formally at set times, hare ein tefillato mishameshet machshir klei bitui l'rikshotav bilvad. Your prayer is not only a tool to express your emotions. Ela af emtza'i l'orer l'dovev rikshotav. It is a means by which you ignite your emotions. And then he goes on, right? Adama shakua bishigrad yom yom, right? If someone's in the day to day, right? It's unlikely that you will have very many inspirational moments like that, right? So yes, maybe we lost something, but you have to remember, fundamentally, it added. It forced us three times a day to at least try to get to that point. Okay, but what I want you to walk away with today is that Shmona Esrei in some form probably existed earlier than we think, and what really hangs on that is that tefillah, even formalized tefillah, daily tefillah, multiple times a day, right? Even though it clearly is a different form post Yavne and the way we have it, that doesn't mean that this is just a replacement for Karbanot and this is Bidyeved, right? What you see from some of these sources that actually is fundamental, right? And that's why it was starting to be created by Jews before the Korban Abayit. Obviously, the Korban made it that it had to become more formalized. But that wasn't a new moment. It wasn't something that wasn't valuable and is just a replacement. It's something that really, at a fundamental level, is part of Judaism, right? Even when there is Karbanot. Okay, so next week we will think one more introduction before we get to the actual words of Tefillah.